services where I get excited about what's coming next, and so I'll jump over and skip something. And last Sunday, at the end of our service, I skipped something very important. And I love this benediction song that we're singing as we receive our offerings. And so if you've noticed, some of what I've been doing is to choose a benediction song that we can do for about a month. And sometimes it goes for longer than a month. The one that we've been doing this month is one that I've just kind of fallen in love with. And so I was excited to kind of move on and get to that and do that last Sunday. And I completely forgot that our dear friend and new person who has expressed her heart and desire to be a member with us had come and was sitting right here. And I came down after we sang, and somebody said, "Did you forget something?" And I said, "Yeah." So, Andresina, would you please stand up? Our dear sister, this is Andresina. She's been with us for over a year in terms of coming to worship with us often. And she has expressed her desire to become a member of North Addison Baptist Church. And I just wanted you to celebrate that with me today. Wasn't going to let another moment go by and do that. But she comes by statement, having received Christ many years ago and having been baptized according to biblical teaching. And so she comes by statement to become a member of our church. Just express your joy with me. You can shout amen or praise the Lord or whatever word. Yeah. All right. Thank you. And thanks for your forgiveness, Andresina. It seems I must ask more often for forgiveness along the way. Maybe I just notice more how weak and foolish I am, and therefore I realize that I need forgiveness from people so much, as we all do. It's probably a good habit for all of us to be sure we're serious about, and so that's good. Today we are in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Last week we moved through the end of chapter 5 and actually had read verses 1 and 2. And as we came to verses 1 and 2, I spoke briefly about what we can see there. But there was a portion of that that I didn't go very far into. I spoke to you about what it says that we not receive the grace of God in vain. And spoke to the fact that if we understand that is we don't want to be receiving the grace of God for nothing. All right, that's really what in vain means. It is, if we do something in vain, it's for no purpose, for no benefit, for nothing that's good for anybody. It's all in vain. It's foolish. It's useless if we do something in vain. And when we hear in the Ten Commandments that God said, "Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain," we should be very careful every time we use the name of God. Every time, I will tell you that all of my life, because this was so important and so significant in my teaching, in my discipling as a child, all of my life, every time I hear someone say, "Oh my God," it's like, "Who are you talking to?" That's what my heart says. That's what my mind says. That's, you know, it's got, I'm already preaching, man, I tell you. But, you know, and it's so, so foolish for us to be using the name of God in any way, any shape, or any form, and not be expecting God to be listening. And let me just tell you, I think that's what the story of the little boy who cried wolf is all about. Because if we are using the name of God in vain, then every time you use the name of God, because you need to use the name of God, do you think God's paying any attention? Should he? Should he listen if you use his name 100 times in a day because you just, it's just a part of your language? It's become a part of your bad language. When you come to him and you cry out and you say, "Oh God, I need you." And you mean it, and you know that you mean it. Why should he ask? I don't hear people taking my name in vain. A few minutes ago before the service, Brother John Hobson was following me, and he called my name, and I didn't hear him. I think he thought it was in vain for a moment, but then he added pastor to the front, and somehow I heard the pastor part, and I turned around, and there he was. But people don't use my name in vain. Why? Why would they? So why do we use God's name in vain? Why? I think it's because he has instructed us not to, and we are rebellious and sinful and foolish. We need to not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. And I will tell you today, you will probably in your household and in your across your TV or in any other place, you will probably hear someone say, "Oh my God." I'm just going to say that's going to be true. In fact, you might find yourself, you might even hear it before you leave church today. Okay? Let's be careful. Let's be serious. And let's take seriously what the Lord our God has said. So we don't want to receive the grace of God in vain either. And let's just expand that just a little bit more. For you see, if we understand what it means to take the name of the Lord of our God in vain, in for nothing, let's not receive the grace of God for no purpose, for nothing. Because, you know, we can go through motions, right? We can ask the Lord Jesus to forgive us of our sin and to come into our lives. And then somehow we go off into the world and we live like the rest of the world, like the devil. And my friends, let me tell you that if you're living like the devil and saying that you're a Christian, you are wearing the name of the Lord your God in vain. If you take the name of Jesus, then you are now identified with him. If you have gone through the waters of baptism and you've identified with him in his death and his burial and his resurrection, and yet you go out and you just live however you want to live with no intent to bring glory to his name, with no intent to help others know him and see him, then you are wearing the name of the Lord your God, the name of Jesus, in vain. For no purpose. It is of no use to anyone around you if you just go through the motions. And my friends, this is what the church everywhere needs to get figured out. This is what we as North Addison Baptist Church need to get figured out. We need to recognize that we should not be wearing the name of Jesus in vain. For no purpose. And when we go out from this place, we want to be and ought to be and should be reaching and touching people's lives with the name of Jesus. And I know that many of you in your places are reflecting Christ very well. And I wouldn't look at any of you and accuse you, because when you're near me, you're doing a great job. But you know what your life is like when you're just out there and you're with people who don't know Jesus. You know what your life is like when you're trying to live life and people are struggling and around you, and you just decide, well, you know, they're doing it this way, I might as well do it this way too. But folks, we need to take seriously this idea and this question and this statement that says, don't receive the grace of God in vain. What difference does it make that Jesus Christ is alive in me? It is that I am forgiven of my sin and I have a happy, healthy opportunity to know God and to walk with him and enter into the glories of heaven when I die because of the promise of everlasting life. And for those people around me, whether I love them or like them or don't like them, their greatest need is also to know Jesus. And if I don't like them, probably the best way that I can begin to have a healthy relationship with them is to help them know Jesus. And guess what? I don't think I know people who celebrate and love Jesus who I don't like. You can get over. They may have attitudes. They may have They may have some habits that might even rub me the wrong way. But there's none of them I could say I don't like. And definitely none that I don't love because of the presence of Christ and the power of Christ at work in them and at work in me. You see, all of this points to the fact that we should be different. We just, in chapter 5, went through that section where we are a new creature, and there ought to be something different about it, so much that people look at us and say, "Behold, look, they're different. They're different." We need to somehow capture that when we walk out the doors of this building. And when we leave the sweet fellowship of walking with and communing with one another, that we are still that person that people can look at and they're going to point at us and they're going to say, "Wow, they're so different from what they used to be." Because of Jesus, that's what it means to not receive the grace of God in vain. And today, friends, I've asked the question, what happens when you're different? What happens when you're different? Is it all fun and pleasure? No. When you're different, things can be really hard. I'm a preacher's kid. I'm just different. That's the reality. I'm just different. I was sheltered, yes, as a young child from many of the things that the kids that I went to school had going on around them and in their homes and all of that. I was pretty sheltered. And because of that, I was different. And there was a time when I struggled with that because I felt different when I was in a group of friends or people at school. Because their attitudes, their words, their general process, they seemed to have I'll call it fellowship, but they seem to have a common ability to relate to each other that I just didn't feel like I fit into. Why? Because I was different. And when I was 9 years old, I prayed and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I received Him as my Lord, and I allowed Him to begin to do a work in me. As much as I've struggled in the course of life and recognized that there have still been times that I need to repent of sin and leave things behind, I have been different. And my friends, because of Jesus, you are different. I believe that a Christian who has at one time felt very comfortable in a setting before they came to Christ are going to find that they are no longer comfortable in that setting. I went to college at Washington State. Washington State is known as being a party school. Okay? We may lose a football game now and then, but we've never lost a party. That's one of the slogans for Washington State. They love to party. I lived on the third floor of Rogers Hall the fall of 1975 through that whole year. And I went to the functions. Oh, yeah, we have a function scheduled with the ninth floor from Stevenson East. That was a girls' dorm. I went to the functions. I talked to people. I knew people. I related to people. I had a couple of other Christian friends that were always there with me. But let me tell you, I was different. I didn't do the things that everybody else seemed to want to do. Don't get me wrong, there was temptation, but I was different. I had been formed by the grace of Christ, and I wanted the grace of Christ to have an impact in my relationships with people around me. And because I was different, I didn't always feel comfortable. And guess what? I made a few other people uncomfortable because I was different, and I needed to be different. We can be different, and we can still walk in relationship with people in the world and build relationship with people in the world and help them come to know the Savior who makes us different. And friends, today I've asked this question: what happens when you're different? Well, things aren't always easy. Things can be very, very difficult at times. We can celebrate some things and we can enjoy experiences with others, but when it comes to those things that have to do with spiritual nature, and in many cases, so many cases, of a moral nature, we find ourselves thinking differently than the average person in the world who is without Christ. And while not everyone in this room is always going to think exactly the same, I think it's pretty easy to say that we agree that everlasting life comes through faith in Jesus Christ. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. I would be very uncomfortable trying to go to a church where I have a cousin that is a pastor. It's a church. They call it a church. But they are very eclectic. Somehow they try to blend their Christianity with their Buddhism and their Hinduism and their New Age thinking and all of these other kinds of things. And it's frightening to me how a person can think that way when I have a cousin whom I love, who has taken that path and is leading others in that path. I would be so different there. Pastor Steve, you'd be uncomfortable at church? Absolutely. If they call it a church, I'd be uncomfortable. I'd be uncomfortable in that setting because I'm different. I can't go certain places and find myself thinking like everybody who is there. And you should not find it that easy either. I know that for many of you who have come out of some of those dark places, one of the reasons I wanted us to read that verse from 1 Peter today was it talks about he has brought us out of dark and into the glorious light. You have discovered the reality of what once was a very dark place where you lived, dark spiritually, dark emotionally, dark mentally, in so many different ways, and you have been brought into the glorious light of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love living in the light. Don't you? I pray that you do. Even though temptation is there, sometimes, to just kind of dabble, to just kind of see what we could get away with, to see what we could justify out of that worldly experience because it seemed to be pleasurable. Well, what happens when you're different? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to read verses 3 through 18. Here it says, "We are not giving anyone an occasion for offense so that the ministry will not be blamed. Instead, as God's ministers, we commend ourselves in everything, by great endurance, by afflictions, by hardships, by difficulties, by beatings, by imprisonments, by riots, by labors, by sleepless nights, by times of hunger, by purity, by knowledge, by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, and by the word of truth, by the power of God, through weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, through slander and good report, regarded as deceivers, yet true, as unknown, yet recognized, as dying, yet, see, we live, as being disciplined, yet not killed, as grieving, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet enriching many, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken openly to you, Corinthians. Our heart has been opened wide. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. I speak as to my children, as a proper response, open your hearts to us. Don't become partners with those who do not believe. For what partnership is there between righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship does light have with darkness? What agreement does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch anything unclean, and I will welcome you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Father, we pray that as we continue in this message, that you will be exalted and glorified, that we each one will capture what you would say to us. Father, for some, it would be the privilege of just saying, Lord, thank you for having changed me so much, that these things are at work in my life. And for others, it might even be that they would say, Lord, I know that you have begun this work of change, but I recognize some places that I need to yield to you. And so, Lord God, continue that work and continue to perfect me. And yet for others, Lord, there may be someone who says, I have yet to put my faith in Jesus. And yet I'm coming to understand that he is the way and the truth and the life, through whom is my only path to you, O God. So, Lord, draw me close today. Father, may it be that you will do a good work among us for your pleasure. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, you know, there's a lot of list in this passage of Scripture. And there's a lot of contrast in this passage of Scripture. I've already said most of what I want to say, but I want us to give just a little bit more attention to what the Scripture is telling us here. Because I think this first verse that says, first two verses that we read, verses 3 and 4, we're not giving anyone occasion for offense so that the ministry will not be blamed. I want us to just recognize that as a Christian, though you may not put yourself in the category of the Apostle Paul, I don't. He was so different and so, man, I'd say he was so much better than I am, okay? You wouldn't put yourself in the same category, perhaps, as any of the apostles. You may not even put yourself in the same category as the person sitting next to you in the pew, or the pastor, or your Sunday school teacher, or your Bible study leader. You may think of yourself somewhat differently in that, but here is a statement that every one of us needs to take seriously. We are not giving anyone an occasion for the offense so that the ministry will not be blamed. Every person who receives and bears the name of Jesus needs to live in such a way that no one would look at you and say, well, there's a Christian. They're no different from me. There's a Christian. They are so offensive. I don't think I want to know Jesus. There's a Christian. You know, I like the story, and it's a sweet story, but I don't see anything so wonderful about what Jesus does in their life. And so maybe I can just go on and enjoy the truth of the story or the idea of the story. Friends, we as the children of God need to live differently and not give anyone an occasion for offense and to blame the message of the gospel, to blame the ministry. We'll fail. We'll mess up. But do you want to hear stories from people that say, you know, I once knew someone from that church up there, that one called North Addison Baptist, and man, they were so ugly to me and so mean and so difficult that, you know, number one, I'd never go there. And, man, I don't know if I want to know anybody who goes to church. And therefore, we have created an offense in their lives, and they blame the church, they blame the gospel, and ultimately they blame our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Many of you have noticed a particular car on our parking lot. It's been there almost a month now. And we've had numerous conversations, and some of you are sitting there thinking, well, why didn't we just get it towed already? We have done our very best to have a healthy and positive relationship with the man who owns that car, who has been struggling with a lot of things in life. And we've, you know, Brandon and I have been looking for him for the last week and a half because and we haven't even seen him. But you know, basically at that point, I said, you know, it's time for you to take action. We've talked about a lot of your options, and I've had long, serious conversations with him and talked with him about what it means to know Jesus. And yet, you know, here it is. We haven't even seen him. He's kind of disappeared. So at some point, the car will disappear. I pray that it's at his instigation and not ours. But, you know, I don't want this man, I mean, he's in his mid-40s. He's had the car for 20-plus years. He doesn't want to lose it. I don't want him to have a bad taste in his mouth, first of all, about Jesus. Nor do I want him to have a bad taste in his mouth about me as a person who represents Jesus. And I don't want him to have a bad taste in his mouth about the people of North Addison Baptist Church. But, you know, sometimes we have to do things. We've got signs out there that say, you know, no parking. You know, you'll be towed, and here's a phone number if you get towed. We've got signs. But I'd rather see him come to a place where he knows Jesus. But we also know that setting a precedent for a car that is a piece of junk, we don't want to begin. We're not establishing a junkyard. We can't appropriately have a campground on our property. We can't do these things because this is dedicated for another purpose. There are a lot of people who could maybe say, well, you know, maybe we should just give this one option, opportunity. And we've given as much grace as we know how to give and have demonstrated in a loving way our hearts toward this man. Sooner or later, he has to make some choices. And it's time. But what I'm getting at is, we don't want anybody to have a bad taste in their mouths because of the members of North Addison Baptist Church or the congregation, the bride of Christ who is here. For we want people to know Jesus and come into fellowship with him. So we don't want to give an occasion for offense. We don't want the ministry blamed. But people have to make choices. But instead, in verse 4, as God's ministers, we commend ourselves in everything, by great endurance, by afflictions, by hardships, by difficulties. And that's the beginning of this long list of things. But let me just say first, the word commend can be a stumbling block for us here. Because at times we interpret and define the word commend as giving recommendations, as being approving, and so the Apostle Paul says we commend ourselves, but he's not saying that this is all because we're so good. You see, another definition of the word commend is to put ourselves under the care. And my friends, you and I need to recognize that the Apostle Paul, I believe, is saying to put himself under the care of God, to put himself under the care of the body of Christ in all of this as he goes through it. Look at this context. Why would he puff himself up because he's going through afflictions? All right? It's not about puffing himself up, ever. And I think we see him use this phrase several times. And I think we need to understand that he is doing this under the care of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he is a very fine man, even though he had the right to say, you know, I'm doing it all right. I make right choices. When I was a Jew, I made the right choices and I persecuted Christians. But when I was transformed by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I am sold out to Jesus and I'm going to make all the right choices now in relationship to Jesus. You see, that's who the Apostle Paul was. So he could have commended himself and recommended himself for every award in the Christian life. But that's not what he's doing. He says, I put myself under the care and the guidance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when ministry brings, and here's this list, I'm just going to produce that list: afflictions, hardships, difficulties, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, times of hunger. When ministry brings that, we must be under the care of Jesus, of the Lord, and of one another in fellowship in Christ. And when ministry brings these other things, we are still under the care of the Lord Jesus Christ, because there is a list of expectations that is now listed and given to us. It is expected that we pursue purity, that we have knowledge, that we be patient, that we exhibit kindness, that the Holy Spirit dwells and rests and works through us, that we have a sincere love, and that we depend upon the word of truth, God's holy word, and that the power of God is available and at work through us. And because of that, in each of our hands, we wield weapons of righteousness in order to bring glory to God and not dishonor. Ministry is sometimes going to bring glory, and sometimes it's going to bring dishonor to us. Not because of us, though. It needs to be because of the failures of those who do not know Christ. We have the highs and the lows, the glories and the dishonors, the slander and the good report. People spoke ill of Paul. People spoke ill of Jesus. People also dishonored him. But people also have given him a good report. And we want to recognize that when the highs and lows come, we are still under the care of our God, who gives us help in times of trouble. He goes on and he gives these contrasts. Let me just read them quickly. The contrasts are just like this. We may be regarded as deceivers, but we're true. We might be thought of as unknown, but we are recognized. We might be seen as dying, but obviously we're alive. The Apostle Paul said, "See, look, I'm alive." We might be being disciplined, yet we're not killed. We might be seen as grieving, and often we do grieve. Yet are not we also always rejoicing? Philippians twice in chapter 4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say it, rejoice. The apostle says, it's not too hard for me to say this over and over again. Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Even out of times of grieving, we can give rejoicing because of the Lord, because of his transforming power. We might be thought of, or we might be experiencing times of being poor, and yet through faith in Jesus Christ, we are enriching many around us. We might be thought of as having nothing, and yet what do we not have that we need? We have everything. There's sometimes things that I want. Sometimes I pursue those things. But I'll tell you right now, in my life, I already have everything that I need. There's nothing in my life that I need that I have not already received from the hand of God. We are speaking honestly and transparently. Our hearts are to be open and laid bare with one another. We need to be pouring out affection while receiving none, perhaps, as the Apostle Paul felt at times. We can be crying out as to also be loved with a tender and open heart. Friends, we need to recognize that we have God's help in times of trouble and that we have everything that we need. And then the final thing that I want us to grasp out of these last verses is that our partnerships need to be also with those who are seeking godliness. And I think perhaps I'm going to save that portion for another message. Stay tuned until next week, okay? Because I think it's so important we talk about in a serious way what it means to relate to people in a healthy way and to partner with people who love God, who have common experience and thinking and common lordship. I think it ultimately comes to that question. It must be a common lordship when we enter into partnerships, because if someone is not following the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ and we partner with them, then they are going to drag us into their world and into the failure of that. So we want to be partnered up in our marriages, in our business dealings, in our every relationship with someone who also is seeking godliness. That'll come back next week. Friends, today, where are you in your walk with God? Are you different? You're the only one who can really answer that. And I think in some cases, you know, we know that we've become different because we've trusted Christ. We also discover that in our world, we kind of move through times where certain things are really hard. It's hard to step away from that group that we want to like and we want to be liked by and we want to have opportunity with. It's hard to step away from that. But what is going on in your daily life? And when you don't step away, is there conviction? You see, if there's conviction, let me tell you, there's hope, right? If there's conviction, there is the voice of the Holy Spirit at work in your life to say, you know, you really don't need that. Or, you know, I have something so much better for you. You see, we need to not be afraid of being different. We need to celebrate the idea of being different. And we need to be different. I didn't have any choice. I was a preacher's kid. My parents were different. I learned from them. I'm different. So many people didn't have that privilege. So many of you didn't have that same opportunity. But you can be different as you look to Jesus and as you let Him, because you see, that's the only reason that I'm different today. Because I could have rebelled as a preacher's kid and gone off into all the ways of the world. But I'm different because Jesus is present with me. Is Jesus present with you today? If so, you can say, I'm different. If He's not, receive Him as your Lord and Savior and allow Him to become Lord of your life. Father, we once again, just bow our heads and we worship You. We thank You that You are Lord in everything. God, where each person is in this time, I pray that decisions will be made even today, even in this moment, have they not already been made, to just say, Lord Jesus, it's awkward to be different. But I want to be different. I don't want to be that broken, sinful, unpleasant person that once I was. I don't even want to be that joyful, happy promoter of the things of the world anymore. Because the things of the world, I know, are all on the path of destruction. So, Lord Jesus, help me to become and be that one that gives glory and honor and praise to You, O God. We're grateful for this today, and we ask that You be glorified in our lives. Thank You, Father, and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand, and we're going to sing a song together.